Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are just in awe of the way you love us, of what you have provided for us, how you care for us day by day in ways that we can't appreciate until we get to the next life. So, Father, I ask that you bless this message, that we can draw closer to you and give you the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at a subject that should be easy and automatic for all of us. But you and I both know that fully appreciating the love of Jesus, like that song talks about, it's difficult. We can't see him. We, with our physical eyes, we can't see the Lord. The Holy Spirit, by God's grace, enables us to know what he's telling us at times. And we have the scripture. But to really appreciate how the Lord Jesus loves us, that song, several weeks ago, that song came into my head, and I looked up the words to it, and I was just knocked sideways. Oh, how I come short of giving God the glory that I should. Anyway, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is a challenge. Think about it. Jesus knew he only had a few hours in his physical body. He only had a few hours before he became the subject, the point. All scripture points to Jesus. All scripture points to the Messiah. All scripture points to the Passover and the Messiah fulfilling the Passover. He knew he was going to be brutally tortured and die on that cross. But what was on his heart? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I know. You and I were not at the Last Supper, but we were on his heart. He knew each of us would come before him for to be saved by him. So let's read in John 13, starting at verse 3. John, again, like chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You were not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now I've got a question for you. How many pairs of feet did Jesus wash that night? Somebody can yell out a number. 12. He washed all 12 pairs of feet. Even though he knew Jesus, he knew Judas was a weasel. He washed Judas's feet. And that should tell us something. When the Lord brings somebody before us to minister to that person might be a weasel. It might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. But we need to minister to whomever the Lord puts in front of us to minister to. And I would challenge us, if we don't wash the feet of a few Judases now and then, maybe we're not really ministering. I have to tell you, I have washed the feet of a few Judases, but I don't let that bother me. I was faithful to the Lord to share the love of Jesus Christ with that person, and I did what I could to do that. A short time later, after Judas had left the room, Jesus continued teaching. Let's continue reading at chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble here. Jesus commands us to love as he loves. That's a pretty high standard. I can't get there. But we have the Holy Spirit who can help us to at least share the love of Jesus when we have the opportunity. We surely can't do it in our own strength. But let's learn more about the Holy Spirit helping us in John 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, notice commandments plural, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay, now, here's something we need to discuss. Verses 15 and 21, they say we should keep the commandments of Jesus. So, how are they different from all the other commands in Scripture? After all, the Jewish leaders in Jesus' day somehow took the Old Testament and came up with hundreds of rules to follow. Which ones of these are Jesus' commandments? Well, the good thing is that they're very simple, and there aren't very many of them. Giorgio, if you could put them up on the board. The first is obvious, faith and repentance from trying to earn salvation by our own efforts. What was the first word of ministry from John the Baptist? Repent. What was Jesus' first word of ministry? Repent. Everybody is trying to earn eternal rewards by their works until they meet Jesus and they repent of their works and accept his completed sacrifice for their sins. Then we have baptism, love, and we'll go over these in a minute. The baptism, love, the Lord's Supper, prayer, giving, and witnessing. I'm pretty sure that everybody in the room is pretty good at faith and at being baptized. And I remember you were baptized recently. So yeah. Yeah, so it's very real for you. And repenting of our works, that was a difficult one for me. I really struggled with it. And what pulled me through was Romans 3, 21 to 24, which says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, as some of you know, I didn't become a Christian until around age 30. And even when I was going to a good church and hearing the scriptures, I knew I needed something. But I didn't like being called a sinner. Then I read Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was okay with that. I knew that my works came short of the glory of God. I knew that. I accepted that, and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. So, Georgia, is the bullet list back on the screen? If you could put it back there, good. Let's go through the rest of these. We will come back to the third item on this list, love, in a couple of minutes. So let's look at the last four on the list of the commands of our Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord's Supper should have been easy. After all, most churches have it like clockwork. But the Lord has more in mind than just taking it. He wants us to understand that it's a picture of the Passover. Now, have you ever wondered why there are two elements? Yes, we know the grape juice or the wine, whatever they serve, is a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us, the blood that was spread across the doorpost and lintels. And that part is clear to us, but why are there two elements? What's the bread for? Well, Isaiah tells us, by his stripes we are healed. The bread is there, not just because Jesus held it up to include it in our Last Supper celebration, but the bread represents the healing that's available because Jesus loved us that much. If you think about it, if the only point was salvation, if that was all there was, Jesus could have gone into the temple, had his throat cut, poured out his blood there, you know, and have it over with quick and relatively painless. But he chose to bear stripes for us. That's how much he loved each of us in this room. Prayer. That one was really difficult for me. I was really motivated. I really wanted to have a powerful prayer life like you read about in the prophets or the apostles. When the Lord would speak to them, I wanted to see the Lord. I wanted to experience God in prayer. But the Lord, who knew that I really wanted this, said, "Come see me, John." He made me work for it. He made me seek out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And even after that, he made me continue to search for him until finally the Lord he broke through. And what I experienced that first time was an outpouring of the love of Jesus. I was just in tears for 20 minutes because of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next on the list is giving. I don't have much to tell you about this except to just do it. The Lord will work with you, and it's something that we need to grow into. Most of us aren't born as givers, but the Lord will advise us how and how much. The last item is witnessing. That was a difficult one for me. It's difficult for all of us. But part of it was learning not only how to witness, but where to witness and when. We can meet some wretched sinner, and we know that wretched sinner needs Jesus. But is the Lord telling us at that moment to share or to wait until the next or the time after to share? The leading of the Holy Spirit, the rhema of God. Rhema activates faith, and faith is how we need to be witnessing to our brothers and sisters, our future brothers and sisters in Christ. So there you have a short lesson on the commandments of Jesus. So let's return to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Notice I wasn't in a hurry to read through this passage. Jesus has already told us that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Okay? So somebody who loves Jesus will be loved in return by both the Father and Jesus. And how are we enabled to participate in that love? By the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Let that sink in. Our Lord Jesus, who always told the truth, is inviting you to be in the meeting place of the Holy Trinity, that the Holy Spirit prays through us to love Jesus. The Father will also love us. It's like a big family reunion. We will be in harmony with God. And notice the second part of verse 23. We will come to him and make our home with him. That's a pretty generous offer. Now, at this point, I want us to reflect on the first verse of Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. The point is that the love of Jesus is something very special. We can't measure it, we can't quantify it. if we open our hearts to it, it can wash us better than any earthly ocean. If you go over to Galveston and get in the water there, when you come out, you're going to be dirty and sandy, right? Guess what? You go to California, go to the beach there. You may not be as dirty, but you'll be sandy and salty. Bathing in the love of Jesus that washes over us leaves us different. And that current leads us onward, leads us homeward. Now let's continue in the Gospel of John with chapter 15, starting at verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, by now, the Lord has repeatedly challenged us to raise our standards. He says, as I have loved you. We can like somebody, an expression, the Greek word phileo, which is kind of a brotherly love or a brotherly like, to where you appreciate somebody for what they can do for you. You like a particular baseball player because when he does well, you win at the DraftKings or whatever betting system you're on. Or it makes you look good because you guessed closer to their score. We can like somebody based phileo, but that's not what Jesus wants. We can like music. We can like people who say good things about us. But that's not what Jesus is asking us. He's offering us a relationship expressed by the Greek word agapao, which means a selfless love. We have the word agape that we talk about. The agape love is how we describe that in English. And it means a deep appreciation of a person for who they are. And remember, don't shortchange your opinion of that person. Jesus died for that person. There's something in them that Jesus loves and he would like us to love. To see just how high the Lord's standards are, in John 15, verse 13, we read, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus knew that within a few hours, he was going to fulfill that the prophecy that we see in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Our Lord knew that the crucifixion would be more than physical torment. But remember, Jesus said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Psalm 22 describes Jesus as the good shepherd. Then Psalm 23 describes the Lord as my shepherd. We must share a few verses of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." At this point, I want to make it clear that the translators made a mistake in verse 3. The translation says that he leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's not very strong. A path could be something abstract. I ran into that when I was into the occult world in the New Age. All these paths to spiritual enlightenment. But they went right up the mountain. Nobody could go up that path. Nobody made it. A lot of us, I know at least one person is smiling at me here, knows from experience, people don't experience that. It's a lie. So a path is not what this verse says. It says, "He leads me in the tracks of righteousness." What are tracks? Well, if you're on a farm, you see the tracks of the sheep or the cows. In our case, we see the tracks of brothers and sisters in Christ. They went before us, and we read in the book of Hebrews about so great a cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses went before us, and they put down tracks. You and I are putting down tracks for our children and for our friends. You and I are part of the cloud of witnesses, encouraging our brothers and sisters, saying, "You can do it. See the tracks here? I did it. You can do it." That's what the Lord has in mind. That's my shepherd. And yes, there is a trilogy there. Psalm 24, the very next psalm. Remember, Psalm 22, the Lord is the good shepherd. Psalm 23, he is my shepherd. In Psalm 24, we see the great shepherd, our Lord returning in glory, this time in glory. And what we are concerned about as believers, how will our works look to him? How will our attempts to spend time with him in this life look to that Lord of glory? At this point, let's look at the second verse of our theme song. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How he watches o'er his loved ones, died to call them, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. That verse is like a composite of Psalm 22 and 23. He died to call them all his own. Now he intercedes, watching over us from his throne. He loves us with an everlasting love. And here he is on the throne, watching over you and me. Wait a minute. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's got other stuff to do besides thinking about us, but he does. Now let's look at the third verse. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing. 'Tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me. It lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. The love of Jesus leads us onward. It leads us homeward. It lifts us up to glory. Lifts us up to the throne to be with the Lord. I don't need to put a conclusion on this. Each of our hearts, I know I'm so convicted of how short I come of loving the Lord and seeking to be in his presence. That's just how life is. But the Lord is always ready for us. He's interceding for us. He's always calling us to love him and to experience his grace and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a difficult lesson. It shouldn't be difficult. But Father, we are so surrounded by earthly stuff and so consumed with earthly requirements and responsibilities and pressures. We have come short in seeking you. We ask, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to each of us to guide us in our prayers this week, this month, this year, until we come to that glorious rest above. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.